Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
With our Royals insider, the one, the only, Josh Vernier, as I've called this, Royals 101. For those of us, Vern, me included, venturing out of the haze that was football, I'm going to start here first. What should we know about these Royals?
They made the improvements required to go through an entire summer calling something the evaluation season. When that evaluation reads 56-106, you need wholesale changes. We spoke at the end of last season talking about how they need to replace 15, 16 of their 26 players. Well, they came darn near close to changing out 15 or 16 on that 26-man roster that we're going to see on opening day. So that, to me, is a reflection of ownership. Outside of ownership passing its test, J.J. Piccolo and the players, they're now on the clock. It appears as if the general manager and the rest of this front office had a terrific offseason. But if this team starts off slow in April and May, I think I'll get laughed off the radio if I continue to bring up, hey, but they spent all this money this offseason. No, now is the time to deliver, not only for the front office, but also the players. And when you look at the clubhouse and who needs to produce, there's maybe one, two, three players that I can take to the bank. You know, Bobby Witt Jr., I'd say Michael Wacha, and maybe you want to throw in a Will Smith, one of those relievers that you brought in this offseason. Look, compared to last year's 56-106 team, they're a lot better. But when you pan out, when you look at the rest of Major League Baseball and you see that it's going to be Michael Wacha against that team's number one, it's going to be Cole Reagans against that team's number two, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, and then we'll see in the number five spot. Yes, the Royals are better equipped to fight this season, but when you look at the rest of the Major League Baseball, even when you look at the rest of the American League Central, they're improved, but in no way are they promised an exciting July or August. To me, the focus right out of the gate is maintain through May. Hover around 500 and allow us to enjoy the month of June. Give us some entertaining summer baseball.
Yeah, well, we haven't had that in a very long time.
As long as that's not the slogan.
Right, yeah.
Terrible.
Hover around 500.
No, maintain through May.
I do like the alliteration,
That on a T-shirt, you know?
Yeah, so Vern, I think, though, as fun as this offseason was and getting those new guys, to me it's still going to be about how this young core develops, because without the young core developing, it doesn't matter who you surround them with. If they're no good, well, then we got to start over from square one. And so is Brady Singer going to take that next step? Is Cole Reagans going to be able to put together back-to-back seasons? What's going to happen with Daniel Lynch? Let's take a look at what's going to happen with Vinny Pasquantino and Bobby Witt. Do both of them take the next step? Does Michael Garcia, you know, kind of take that next step in becoming an everyday Major League Baseball player that you can rely in night in and night out? That's where I'm kind of looking at this thing. Do those veteran guys help the younger guys take that next step forward, Vern, and truly be a core that not only you can build around this past offseason, but during the season and off seasons moving forward?
And the veterans can only do so much. And let's also note, the veterans need to go out there and duplicate what they've done. Wacha needs to be the guy that he's spent a majority of his career. Lugo must duplicate what we saw last season. Reagans has to match what he did in the second half of last season. And that's to compete. If those three things don't happen, I don't know if this team can compete late into the summer. My big question is, do you have four reliable bats? Bobby, no doubt about it. Vinny Pasquantino, if he can stay healthy, I have no doubts about the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. He is a monster at the dish. Outside of those two, you feel good about Hunter Renfro in the back of his baseball card, the same way you feel good about Salvador Perez in the back of his, but you also acknowledge that they're on the back nine of their career. Sure, Salvi's a little bit further on the course than Hunter Renfro, but if it's not those two, if Salvi is declining, if Renfro is unable to match what he's done in years previous, Who are those other bats going to be? It's fun to talk about what Michael Garcia and Michael Massey and MJ Melendez could be, but we've been doing that in this city for the past decade. If those guys that you mentioned, if they don't meet or exceed expectations, yeah, this could be another one of those summers where it's, I enjoy going to the game. Bobby always puts on a show. But if Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi don't run into a three-run dinger, it could be a long night. Now, I know that might sound similar to last season. I think the difference between this year and last year is you're going to have the pitching staff that's going to allow you to maintain through May. Now, injuries are going to happen. That pitching staff is going to take a beating over the first 60, 70 games. So we'll see how they, if they can stay healthy, see if they can win that battle of attrition as the season goes on. But eventually the bats will need to make up for any sort of step back or decline from that pitching staff. I know Bobby can do it. We know Vinny can do it. Who else is in that lineup right now with a lot of question marks?
You can maintain through May in order to jump through June and July.
There you go.
I can continue this going if they weren't it.
All right, and excel in August.
Boo.
Not really. So I've seen a lot of win projections at 72. So that's 72-90. That'd be a 16-game improvement.
Yeah.
Is that too much? Is that massive? Is that warranted? Should it be better?
I like that. I think last time we spoke, Bobby mentioned 72, and that sounded right to me. That's a massive jump. But the reason why last year was so atrocious was the pitching. So when you go out and you bring in two guys that, look, I'm not going to say that Waka or Lugo or any of the relievers that they brought in are the equivalent of James Shields or Wade Davis or Greg Holland. And that's fine. Again, we're talking about a 70-72 win team. There are a lot of things I wanted out of this offseason, but the main thing I wanted out of this offseason is I didn't want Bobby, Vinny, Massey, and Michael to become losers like Merrifield and Lopez and Dozier and so many in the past have. And not to knock them, but you show up to the ballpark understanding that we're probably going to lose, expecting to lose, and accepting that you're going to lose. In the previous regimes, as we've talked about, they made sure that didn't happen to Moose and Haas in that summer of or that offseason going into 2013. Waka, Stratton, Smith, Schreiber, Lugo, all of these pitchers that they brought in, it's going to allow Bobby and Vinny and the rest of these young bats to stand on that first baseline on opening day and no longer feel the pressure of, if we don't get the job done, we're going to lose. If we don't put up six runs, we're going to lose, because now we have a pitching staff that's at least going to keep us in the game. Now, it's not, again, a great pitching staff, but if we could scratch across four runs or more, yeah, we got a chance to win. We all remember the four or more statistic from back in the day in 2013 and 2014 where, man, if this offense could string together some hits, the pitching was good enough to make it hold up. I think you're in that situation. Now, I don't think you have the hitting that you did back in 13 and 14, but you might. And that's what we're excited about.
Talk with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider here on 610 Sports Radio. So I know we always look at, Josh was talking about a 16-game improvement from the prior year. But why do we always do that? Why can't this team go out there and be better than just a 16-game improvement? Everybody in baseball acts like that's impossible to do. But when you've had this many changes like the Royals did, what does last season even really matter for what's going to happen this season?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Thank you.
They could. They could win this division. Now, the rhetoric you're hearing from Royals camp is the exact same thing you're hearing out of the Detroit Tigers camp, out of the Chicago White Sox camp. The Twins are ready to repeat, and the Cleveland Guardians feel as if they went nowhere. So the excitement about the stank in the American League Central, you can miss me with that. Many people in baseball have waited for the White Sox to win the division. They were supposed to be the team of the past half decade. That never came to fruition.
Right. Well, they had a manager that was sleeping most of the time,
That's true. Yeah, that certainly didn't help. A clubhouse that was – and listen, I'll say this about the team that Matt Quatrero has this year. This is much more of a Matt Quatrero type of team, much more of a Tampa Bay type of team where, yeah, Vinny and Salvi and Bobby will probably play, and Mike Hal will probably play every single day. But everybody else is according to the matchup. You're going to see a lot of different lineups again this season. Waka's going to eat up some innings. Hopefully Cole Reagans can eat up some innings. But you're going to see a lot more mixing and matching because the talent on this team is just superior to where it was a year ago. But as far as why can't they make that big jump, what does last year have to do with anything? Well, last year just goes to show you how many unproven commodities they have. Could they all hit? Could they? Could Massey become that 275, 15 home run guy? Yeah, he could. Michael Garcia could become that consistent bat that this team wants at the top of the lineup. That's what spring training's all about. You can see how it could go very well, and you could see how it could go very poorly. Right now, I'm sitting in the middle until they take the field, until we start to see, is Bobby gripping that bat really tight like he has the previous two Aprils, or has the additions of Waka, Lugo, and the rest of this pitching staff allowed him to just let the game come to him?
You mentioned very early on they did what they had to do to be competitive. If it doesn't work, do they get spooked? Like, they spent a lot of money this offseason. Does it bank on that it has to pay off for the franchise to continue to try to do those things?
I think if you look at the contracts, they're out of most of them by 2026. There's a new CBA at the end of 2026. I think what these offseason moves did was buy J.J. Piccolo and the rest of his front office some time to rebuild that farm system. You know, ideally, Asa Lacy's in this rotation. Frank Mazzucato's knocking at the door. Some of the draft picks over the past half decade would be here ready to take over for the Brad Kellers and the other departing pitchers from this rotation. But instead, those guys don't pitch, aren't in baseball, are always hurt, or are just no good. So you had to supplement them with $110,000 worth of free agents. Now, John Sherman doesn't seem to be scared money. He's shown me nothing that says, he's going to get tight with the purse strings if this thing goes south. Now, if this thing goes south, they could trade some players, certainly mid-season at the end of this season. But I can't imagine John Sherman ever being afraid of making his team better, because I truly think this, yes, he has a lot of civic pride, but I also think he's a competitor. I do think he has an ego. I do think he was embarrassed by last season, and I don't think he wants to go down that road again.
All right, Vern, I got a friend that works in minor league baseball, and he is convinced that the Royals will be trading everybody by the deadline. Convince him why he's wrong.
They don't have enough pitching to supplement trading everyone. So if you trade Waka and Lugo, you could trade the relievers. But if you trade Lugo and Waka, I don't know who's replacing them in the rotation. Now, I guess it could turn into another we're watching an opener every other day. You know what? Tell your friend to just shut up, man. Not right now.
That's what I do, though. I do. Yeah. I've had the conversation with him, right. You know?
He's right. It could happen, but they would have to be as bad as they were last year, and I just can't foresee that. The pitching is improved, and as we talked about all last season, if you can't pitch, you can't win. I think the Royals will be able to pitch. I think they'll be able to win a few more of those 50-50 games that they were coming out on the wrong side of last year. So is it possible they trade everyone? Of course. Is it likely? No, especially the big-name free agents, the Waka and Lugo. Okay, a Renfro, some of the relievers. Sure, yeah. That could make sense. But guys that are not only leading the pitching staff, but leading the rotation and probably leading the clubhouse, I don't know if you want to part with them after you've already sent a message that, you know, it's a different day in Kansas City. You send that message to Bobby and Vinny, what are they thinking about all of that sell job you had this offseason of we want to win the division? to have an about face 3 months in, I think would be a very bad look.
Maintain through May. I love it, Vern.
Thank you, Kling. You know you're going to be hearing a lot of it.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.